In the mid-50s, two men knocked over a kerosene stove during a fight at a concert. After fleeing the blaze, the guitar player realized he left his beloved Gibson inside. B.B. King then ran in and saved it. He later learned that the fight was over a woman named Lucille, and ever since, his guitars have borne that name. You can find Lucille at the Hard Rock in Hollywood, Florida. Thousands of other priceless pieces of rock history can be found at Hard Rock cafes, casinos, and hotels around the world. To learn more, visit hardrock.com.
Little Stephen's Underground Garage's coolest conversations, presented by Hard Rock Cafe, hosted by the Mighty Manfred.
It's time for your coolest conversations, presented by Hard Rock and Little Stephen's Underground Garage. I'm the Mighty Manfred. Thanks for listening, and please remember to follow and subscribe, rate, and review. Shortly, I'll be yakking it up with Mark Ribbler. He's a guitarist and music director in Little Stephen and the Disciples of Soul. Stevie and the band's latest single is a recent coolest song of the world and a cover of the Jacksons' 1981 tune called Can You Feel It, written by Michael and Jackie. We'll talk about the song, a show that the band is going to be performing on Friday, July the 17th at the Park Stage in Freehold, New Jersey, as well as other recent projects Mark has been working on. First, though, we'll hear some of the tune, followed by my chat with Mark on your coolest conversations presented by Hard Rock in Little Stephen's Underground Garage.
What we need now is an aspirational fantasy, providing hope where none appears to exist.
Can you feel it? Can you feel it?
Manfred here with you in Little Stephen's Underground Garage, and today, for our coolest conversations, I'm chatting with singer-songwriter and multi-instrumentalist Mark Ribbler. He's also the music director for Little Stephen's Disciples of Soul. This week's coolest song in the world is a cover of the Jacksons' tune, Can You Feel It? And Mark and the band have done. It's out on Wicked Cool Records as this digital single. Mark, my man, how are you?
Manfred, I'm good, man. Great to hear your voice. Great to reconnect. And yes, I can feel it, because everyone on that record is feeling it, man.
Oh, man, we're feeling it too now. So the song, you know, originally a Jackson's tune, they had it as a single back in like 1981 on their Triumph album, co-written by Michael and Jackie. First off, are you more of a Jackson 5 fan or Jackson's?
Well, you know, that's a definitely Jackson 5, because I grew up, you know, They all their hits were when I was very young. So, and the cartoon was on, you know, the Jackson 5 cartoon. So, definitely partial to the name and that those years of music.
And do you know why Stephen wanted to cover this tune? Can You Feel It?
You know, I think he wanted something with a positive, you know, a positive feeling, especially, you know, in light of the chaos and, you know, and mass dissension and division and, you know, so just kind of things that kind of have a message of, you know, solidarity and positivity. So I think that was, and the song feels like, you know, it has this triumphant feel to it. So I'm sure that fed into the equation now.
Well, had you guys been performing this song live already, or when did the idea come down to make a recording of it?
We did a show in Orlando last October, and then kind of out of the blue, Steven said, I'm thinking of doing this as a cover. And, you know, we rearranged it. Steven rearranged it for the band. And then we went in like right after the show, maybe a week or so after, and recorded it at Renegade, and, you know, at Stevie's studio. And we just mixed it recently, though. I guess, you know, it just kind of, the timing maybe wasn't quite ready to come out then. So we just kind of finished it up very recently.
Let me ask you about the actual recording process with him. What is his, like, were the basic tracks recorded live, or really overall, what is his kind of recording philosophy?
In this particular case, we had the luxury of, you know, being in a rehearsal room. And I think Stevie's favorite thing in the world to do is arrange. I you know, he's like a kid in a candy store when he has the Disciples of Soul, you know, and he can, you know, zero in on the horn section, rhythm section, you know, the girls, you know, the soulettes. So it's sort of like he has his canvas, his brushes, you know, his paints, and he's sort of like, you know, kind of, you know, moves around the room like a mad scientist creating, you know, the latest amazing monster, you know. And that's sometimes we'll arrange things in the studio, but in this case, we were able to hear everything in the rehearsal room, and then everything gets refined when we go in the studio. So 9 times out of 10, we record basic tracks. It's usually the rhythm section first, which is myself, Jack on bass, Andy Burton on keyboards, and Rich Mercurio, and Anthony, if Anthony Almonte, depending on the song. But in this case, we tracked it with Anthony as well. And then we'll usually bring the horns in like an hour after, you know, we set our time to record basic tracks. And then we have the girls come in later in the afternoon to do background vocals. So it's, and we like to get it done in one day. So by the end of the day, if we're ready to mix, that's usually that's a glorious day.
And so this was the only song at the session, right? You just worked on this one tune.
That's right. We weren't recording an album. It was just, we just felt really inspired about it. And Steven wanted to kind of, you know, catch lightning in a bottle, being that, you know, it was so fresh in our minds and in our bodies. So we went right into record it after we did that show in Orlando.
Well, the last album, 2019, Summer Sorcery, that's the last album. Is another album brewing there?
There's, you know, it's interesting. In the last year or so, there's been some new songs recorded, some original songs, some covers like Can You Feel It? So anything's possible. Is it an album? I mean, there's definitely a small collection of songs, and I think it's growing. But as far as planning, you know, like, you know, a Disciples of Soul record, I don't think that is completely formulated yet.
Today, you guys are scheduled to have played at Park Stage there in East Freehold Park, the showgrounds in New Jersey. It's an event put together by the Count Basie Center for the Arts in collaboration with the Monmouth County Tourism and Monmouth
New Jersey 250, and the lineup was supposed to be you guys, Jake Clements Band, Joe Grushecki and the House Rockers, the Gary U.S. Bonds, Low Cut Connie, the Weaklings. It's it was postponed. It's I think we got some information about it being rescheduled. Well, first of all, why did it get postponed?
There's these extreme heat advisories that and really concerned about, you know, it's a whole day. You know, it's basically the concert would have started this afternoon, you know, in the middle of the afternoon.
Yeah, 4 o'clock is the local time, is what I
want. Yeah, so for, you know, people standing out in that heat, you know, and our crowd, you know, it's a pretty wide demographic, but there's a lot of, you know, a lot of our fans are in their, you know, 60s, 70s. So, you know, we were just concerned about people's health. And you know, like a couple days ago, it started, you know, like a nervousness kind of, you know, entered the conversation about the heat. And we were trying to think of remedies. And then it just, you know, it just seemed like a safe thing to do for people's health. Like we really felt it would, you know, it could be dangerous.
Right. That makes a lot of sense. And so you've got a new date is scheduled, though. We can tell the folks about the new date.
Yes. Friday, July 17th is the new date.
And so the same fairgrounds, right? The same Freehold Park showgrounds there in New Jersey?
That's right. Yeah. Park Stage. Yep. Yeah. This new venue, which we haven't been at yet, but really looking forward to this. And obviously, this being the 4th of July weekend, you know, it's unfortunate we have to move it, but it'll be an amazing show nonetheless. One way or the other, it's going to be an illustrious day of music and positivity.
Absolutely. Though people will feel it. Can they feel it? They'll feel it for sure that day.
They will feel it, man. Just put that record on, man. You'll know how much they're going to feel it.
Well, let's talk a moment about yourself. You had a solo album back in 2023, Story Rude Armageddon, on Stevie's Wicked Cool Records label. Have you had a chance to work on material for a new full length?
Yes. I have a lot of songs in the can. It's been a very busy bunch of months between actually moving, you know, to a new home.
Oh, may I ask you, where do you live?
I'm in the Asbury Park area now. Yeah, so I was about 25 minutes away, so I'm just closer to sort of like the central office now, you know?
Yeah, closer to where the action happens.
Yeah, it's a little more convenient. Most of my friends, you know, and people I work with are here, and the, you know, these very labor-intensive, time-intensive projects like American Music Honors, and we just did the Music America with Bruce and Stevie, and sort of like the history of American popular music from in the entire 20th century, really. And that was two nights of music with Bruce and Stevie and Jackson Browne, Sheryl Crow, Gary Clark Jr., Jimmy Vaughan, so, and the Disciples of the House Band. So it's a tremendous amount of preparation that I have, and, you know, organizing everything for the band. So I kind of had to put, when these things happen, I kind of put my artist thing on the back burner, you know, until I have a clearing, you know. But it's and these shows, you know, I mean, as it's certainly a labor of love, as labor intensive as they are, it's very surreal and dreamlike, you know, to be able to perform with Mavis Staples and Dion and Jackson and, you know, Bruce. And it's kind of honoring all the people that got us here, you know, so we feel very blessed to be able to do that.
You know, you mentioned Dion, and recently you played guitar, and I think the lead guitar as well on "Make It Alone," a single that features Mike Wartella and Diego Andreas Rodriguez, and they are singers, performers in this musical, "The Wanderer," based on the life and music of Dion. It's going to be on Broadway next year. really, man, it's a cool recording. Those guys are great singers. Did you record any other songs from the production?
Yes, we recorded two songs, and Mike and Diego, you know, the great performers, great singers. They came in and you know, certainly rose to the occasion, you know. And then we did a TV show with them a couple weeks ago to, you know, just get the word out about The Wanderer and finding it a home on Broadway. And yes, and Dion is you know, if you know Dion, he's just, you know, he's going to be 87 years old, and he has, you know, the exuberance of a, you know, of a 30-year-old, and he still sings unbelievable. And we want to see this play happen. You know, it's necessary. He's such a vital part of our history, you know. And
that's such a great line that you said. You know, he's 87 years old, and he has the exuberance of like a 30-year-old. You know, and I know that the intent of the comment there is the exuberance. What I expect to hear is exuberance of a child, and it's like a 30-year-old, because from Dion's perspective, 30 years old, that's a kid. You know,
exactly.
You haven't really grown up yet, you know?
Yeah, but he still has some teenager in him.
Yes, for sure.
I mean, he's just, he's a loving soul, man. He's very generous of spirit, and he always acknowledges, you know, people, you know. He doesn't make things about himself. You know, he's very, you know, he makes the impression that this is a guy that cares, you know, he cares about this world and this life and the people he works with, you know, and it's really such a joy to work with him.
Have you seen any of the musical yet? Because I know they, like, this whole process of getting to Broadway, they, you know, they've done performances elsewhere, and the script and the show has been, you know, changed a little bit here and there as it's been developed. Have you seen any of it yet?
We've seen just some of the early readings. So it's actually been a couple years since we've, you know, seen any, you know, how current it's become and how much they've edited it, the show. But early on, I mean, even in the early readings, it just, you know, the vibe is great, man. It's like, you just get a sense of, you know, you get a sense of where he comes from, you know, growing up in the Bronx and, you know, singing on the street corner and, you know, how, you know, and then being in the midst of the, you know, the civil rights movement and the Vietnam War, and just, you know, like a song like Abraham, Martin and John, that, you know, such an important song, you know. And we just got to play that with him at Music America, you know, from the Springsteen archives this past June, actually earlier in the month. And it's such a very, it's a very spiritual song. It's like it's really a church, has a church gospel kind of quality to it, man.
Well, speaking of things from last month, a couple weeks back, you were doing Paul McCartney, a tribute show in honor of his 84th birthday. Mr. McCartney's got quite a catalog of songs. How many did you play, and what was the criteria that you used in selecting?
The criteria, I mean, I'm really partial to, of course, the Beatles and Paul's early solo years at the Wings. You know, like, to me, Paul's solo years are the Wings. And although, you know, I do like some of his later music, we really focused on, you know, really choice Beatles songs and Wing songs that we love, like, you know, Venus and Mars Rock Show, Mull of Kintyre, you know, Live and Let Die, you know, just like some of the epics, you know. And we had a couple of, I had my friend John Martin, who plays, you know, when we play Penny Lane, he plays the piccolo, you know, he plays the piccolo solo, and he'll play, you know, if there's a song that has oboe or clarinet, like When I'm 64, you know, he'll play that instrument, you know. And we always utilize John, his, he's just one of these rare people that plays brass instruments, you know, like trumpet, trombone, tuba, anything brass, anything, any single reeds, saxophones, you know, clarinets, double reeds, oboes, English horn. So people that don't really know what all of these instruments are, it's sort of like he plays like half the instruments in the symphony, and it's, you know, it's one person. So he's like my go-to guy whenever we do these shows and we're playing like Abraham, Martin, and John, which opens with an oboe. He just happens to play oboe, you know, and not a lot of sax players play oboe because it's much more difficult. It's a double reed instrument. So I always, you know, I call John for these kinds of shows, but, you know, just a great band of Beatle lovers, you know, Wings lovers. And
so fans of Denny Lane. Along
absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely, yeah. Man. Yeah. Those years were very, you know, it's like he just came out of, you know, like he just like came off one spaceship and took off on another spaceship.
Well, the other tune I want us to hear today is you along with Stevie and the Disciples of Soul performing The Tears of a Clown, which Smokey Robinson did back in the 60s. And on your version, you're backing him. We were playing this the single like in a, you know, it was the coolest song of the week earlier in the year back in March. It was recorded at last year's American Music Honors event. Stevie did like the induction for Smokey. Did you get a chance to play any other songs with him without just that track?
Yeah, we played "Going to a Go-Go."
Oh wow!
Yeah, which we and you know I have the auspicious honor of not only performing and, you know, working on the arrangements with Stevie and the band, but also we record all these shows and I get to mix the music. So, and Going to a Go-Go was with Smokey and Stevie and Bruce. That's something that the world needs to hear as well. That's an amazing version of that song. But Tears of a Clown is so deep in ourselves, man. I mean, you know, when I was a kid, I was probably, I don't know, I wasn't even 10. I was probably six years old when that song came out. And it's in ourselves, man. It's in our, and so to hear, you know, Smokey, who, you know, I mean, he still sings, like we're rehearsing with Smokey and he sings so soft, like you don't even know that you almost don't even realize that there's any sound coming out of his mouth. But when I went to mix the song, it's like, it was perfect. It was like, you know, his pitch was dead on. And Smokey also is 80. I think Smokey's 85 or 86 years old.
Yeah. He's somewhere in his mid 80s. Yeah.
I don't, you know, it's like these artists, you know, Smokey, Mavis, Dion, John Fogerty, like they were born like right at, I don't know if it has anything to do with the, you know, the atomic bomb or just, you know, but something happened then, man. And rock and roll happened after that, you know? So I think it just entered their beings and supercharged their selves, man, because they're in their 80s. And they're still unbelievable. They're still performing great. They're singing great. So rock and roll, I think, has amazing preservatives in its cellular structure.
Absolutely. Man, Mark, thank you so much for joining me, speaking with me today on Our Coolest Conversations.
My pleasure always, Manfred. It's great to hear you, brother, and look forward to our next outing.
Yeah, we got to remind people again, the show there at the Park Stage, that is now Friday, July the 17th, right? So people got to put that on their calendars. And we're going to go out now taking a listen to Little Steven and the Disciples of Soul backing Smokey Robinson on The Tears of a Clown here in Little Steven's Underground Garage.
Ladies and gentlemen, Smokey and Steven.
Let's go. Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Now if there's a smile on my face, it's a clown when there's no one around.
Nobody around, baby.
Play it bad.
That was Smokey Robinson, backed by Little Steven and the Disciples of Soul, here in Little Steven's Underground Garage, with a version of The Tears of a Clown, recorded last year at the American Music Honors event, where Stevie inducted Smokey. This is the Mighty Manfred, and thanks again to Disciples of Soul music director Mark Ribler for speaking with me today on our Coolest Conversations. Thanks also to Kurt Baker for producing our podcast. Australian rocker Don Mariani has a bunch of music projects that we're keen on here in the Underground Garage, including The Stems, DM3, The Majestic Kelp, and Datura 4. And it's the latter that has a new album out called High on the Low Brow. We're going to find out all about it next time around when Dom joins us for our Coolest Conversations presented by Hard Rock and Little Steven's Underground Garage.
Buddy, you're a boy. Make a big noise playing in the street. I'm going to be a big man someday. You got mud on your face, you big disgrace. Kicking your can all over the place.
Some things are better when they rock. The Seminole Hard Rock Hotels and Casinos rock around the clock with nonstop casino action, rooms fit for the king, pools, spas, restaurants, and clubs for every taste and temptation. Seminole Hard Rock Hotel and Casino in Tampa or Hollywood, Florida. We will rock you.